Spokane, Washington, and open our hearts, open our minds. Let us receive the word of the Lord, and let our faith be increased. I'm thankful the word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what Pastor Greg will share with us today. Amen.
You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 28. Speaking of Moses, when his ministry goes national, Hebrews 11, 28 in the King James Version, I'll be preaching from the M.D. Treese Version, but the King James Version says that through faith he kept the Passover. But M.D. Treese Version says that by faith Moses made the Passover. Moses made, not kept. Moses made the Passover. That's what I want to preach. Don't you know there comes a time when God has elevated himself in people's lives, that the way you see yourself and the way you speak has got to change, because it's no longer real. It's no longer your reality. Your reality's been upgraded. And so if you have an old faith language, it's outdated. It's a hindrance. And really, really, when you read in Scripture about Jesus, heaven knows how to talk about him. And I like the way heaven talks about him. And again, in the King James Version, there's some words that are added in to make it sound right that aren't in the original text, and so they won't probably be in many other versions. But the God that is an Alpha and Omega, often we call him the God that is, the God that was, that is to come, or the God that was, is, and is to come. One of those two. Either he is, was, is to come, or was, is to come. And that's a good way to look at this God, and we understand we got a past with him, we got a present with him, and there's stuff coming for us, and that's awesome, unless it's already come. And then Revelation 11, the heavenly host is praising God, and they're using the same language in verse 17, and not in the King James Version, but the real version would not have the words in it, and because the kingdom of God has come, the world, the kingdoms of this world, verse 15, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. It's already happened. So then verse 17 says that we give thanks to our God Almighty, which art and was. And then the King James feels like they need to throw in "and art to come," but it's not in the actual Greek text. Which art and was. But since he's come, it's no longer right to say who is to come. And that's how heaven speaks. Heaven speaks as it is. And there is a measure of what God's getting ready to do, getting ready to do, getting ready to do. But there's a whole lot of what God is doing that the getting ready to part is no longer viable. And all it does is hold you back from who you are. And there does come a point in time where you've got to take a leap of faith. And that leap of faith is literally, God is. God is. Nothing else is going to happen. God is. And now it's time for us as the kingdom of God on earth to make it in earth as it is in heaven. That's what Brother Bartlett spoke about today. Matter of fact, he said, you know, don't expect for that little bit of oil to get any bigger. There comes a point in time where you've got to step out by faith, and you've got to see exactly the flow of the Holy Ghost through what you've already got. He won't make it bigger. And we're waiting on God, make it bigger. When you give me a bigger jar, then I'll know I've got enough anointing to change the world. And there comes that point in time where you've just got to say, hey, I've got enough right now. Let's just see what God will do with what I already have. not gonna come, he is. And I am now going to declare it as is, as done, as finished, and have that faith. Can you crank me up if you can with the microphone here? So Moses, what a man of God. Moses is a man of God simply because God's called him. God's called him. And I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to whatever. I don't know. And we know that Moses does know how to speak. He's mighty in words. But he's not talking about being mighty in words. He's talking about, I don't know how to speak in the kingdom language. It's a difference between speaking in the natural English, whatever language you speak, and speaking in the kingdom. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to declare stuff like that. I can wax wise and eloquent. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. But when it comes to declaring things like this stick right here can turn rivers into blood, that's different. You probably don't know how to say that right. And so my lips, they're dumb. And God says, who made their lips? Who made man's lips? And he's knocking down all of Moses' excuses for why I can't be used. And just because the excuses keep coming, then God says, okay, here's what you'll do. What's that in your hand? It's a stick. Throw it down. Becomes a snake. All right, that's one sign. Now put your hand in your chest. Pull it out. Lepers, put it back. Fine. Okay. And then if they don't listen to those two signs right there, if you can't prove to God's people that God is indeed breaking them out of jail with those two, then you're going to literally turn water into blood. And those signs are powerful, but they're only to prove to God's people you are who God says you are. They are not validation for where you are. They are not validation for the power that God's invested in you or the destiny that you have. They are only to wake you up and say, hello, somebody. Hello, I'm doing something here. God's purpose, God's plan, Abraham's promises, they're all coming to pass right now. And so you need to start paying attention because it's getting ready to get real. That's generally what signs and wonders are in the church. Hello. Guess who you are. Guess who you are. Guess who you are. And the scripture said signs follow believers, but we're following signs and trying to be made believers. And every time there's a sign, it's a literal slap in the face. You're a believer. You are a believer. You are a believer, and I need another miracle to show me I've got faith to believe in miracles. And all the while, God said the only reason you're seeing miracles is you've got enough faith to have miracles. And so the miracles and the signs and all this, it's God showing you who you are, what time it is. And then whenever God starts hitting Pharaoh upside the head, that's just a matter of God showing off. God guaranteed he will not let you go. He guaranteed it. In Exodus chapter number 3, he already set it up. He won't let you go. I won't let him let you go. Because I want to show off. I want to get glory. All 10 of those plagues were inevitable. Because God was wanting to get glory. It wasn't that this is a real battle. Right off the bat, Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? And God said, you're getting ready to see who the Lord is. But that's not who I am. Not by a long shot. Turning water into blood, that's not who I am. Pull my hand out of my chest is leprous. That's not who I am. God told his children 400 years prior exactly what was going to happen to prove that I have indeed given you the land of promise. He guaranteed them 400 years of service. But when Abraham said, how am I going to know I'm going to inherit the land? The Lord said, get me 3 animals and 2 birds. And he cuts the animals in half. And he sets the pieces apart from each other. So you've got blood on one side, blood on the other side. And you've got a bloody pathway in between. But the birds he does not cut in half. And so they're laying right here in the pathway. And now there's something that has to be passed over. You can pass through the pieces, Genesis 15, but he doesn't cut the birds in pieces, and so God's going to have to pass over the birds. So you've got one wall, another wall, and a ceiling. And he's telling Abraham, this is how you're going to know that you're my people inheriting the land. There's going to be a bloody pathway and a bloody Passover. And he said, and your children are going to walk out rich. They're going to walk out rich. He guaranteed it. And he said, and your promised land starts at the Nile River. Your promised land, he told them, starts at the Nile River, the river of Egypt. And so whenever you're walking around intimidated on a piece of property, maybe you've got to lift up your eyes and recognize I'm already on my inheritance. Yeah. 9 plagues, Pharaoh's not responding. Finally, Moses is mad enough that chapter 11 happens. And God tells Moses in chapter 11, verse number 1, he said, I will bring one more plague. And after this, he's really going to thrust you out. Let me read something real quick to you. Just so you know exactly what he's doing. Exodus chapter number 3, verse 22. God repeats to Moses the promise he made to Abraham that they're going to walk out rich. Every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment. You shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you will spoil the Egyptians. And then he told Moses in the very next chapter, he said, verse 22, you shall say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even thy firstborn. This is where it was always meant to end up. In this chapter right here. And here, Moses makes a move that's so powerful, and God sets him up with it. Because he says, one more plague. After this, he will let you go. Now look at this. Verse 2, he says, speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. This is before blood. This is before the firstborn's been killed. Do it now. Say it now. Step up now. This is when you get into a mode of faith where now playing time is over. That's something that requires massive faith for you to go from saying, okay, God, prove it again. Prove it again. Prove it again. Now everything in Egypt's been destroyed already. And we're going, prove it again, God. Show them again how awesome you are. Prove it again that we can get out of jail. Prove it again that we are more than conquerors. Prove it again that this is our prophecy. This is our promise. This is our year. Prove it again, God. And now God says, all right, Moses, it's time for you to show me. It's time for you to show me that you're believing you are who I've been proving to you that you are. And the first step is going from being a slave to demanding jewels like that. Now tell them, do it. Spoil the Egyptians now. That is a shift that is so fast. When you go from working in a house to demanding the stuff in the house. That's a massive shift right there. You walk out of the house, you throw the broom away. That's the last time I swept that house. Now give me all your jewelry. That's what they did. They demanded of the Egyptians all of their precious metals. And the Egyptians gave it to them. Because the scripture said, verse number 3, that the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Check this out. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. In the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. But you'll never be great in the sight of Pharaoh. And if you got to wait for that, you don't create a Passover. If you've got to wait for the one you've been going head to head with to bow down and kiss the ring to show that I am a strong, mighty man of God, it's probably not going to happen. You can guarantee all of his servants are going to bow down. And you can guarantee the people are going, man, Moses is powerful. But does Moses know he's powerful? And if he's polling Pharaoh, the answer is going to be no, not yet. I need God to prove it more. I need God to do something else to prove to Pharaoh I am who God's telling me I am. But I do believe Moses knows it. And I think it's about time that we know it too. There comes a time in the history of every church where we quit waiting on God. I need you to prove it to us again, oh God. I need you to do another miracle, Lord. I need you to work something else. I need you to perform something else. And we've got this window of opportunity where God says, in one night, I'm going to break their authority, and you better be ready to go or you won't be able to go. It's going to happen in a moment, and you better have your sandals on. You better be ready, dressed up, so you can pass over into your new identity. God, do it again, Lord. Tell me another story. I need another Robinette to show up here. I need somebody else other than my pastor. I need a visiting preacher. That's who I need so I can have faith to bring somebody. And all we're doing is saying, prove it again, God. Prove it again, God. And all the while, every servant in Egypt that's allowed to by God is saying, that is an unbelievable mighty man. Pharaoh's never going to say it because God won't let him say it. Because if he says it to Moses' face, what are the chances you're desperate to break out? What if you're just like, I'm a takeover? And it's not God's will for you to take over because he's got a lamb that he's promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And it's not his will for it to get better. It's not his will for the climate to kind of change and we're semi-friendly around each other. But it's time for Egypt to be completely destroyed, totally taken out. A kingdom's getting ready to disappear. And that won't happen if Pharaoh's like, man, you're a man of God. But if I need that, God, do it again. It's getting ready to happen. I just feel like the best years are in front of us. I just feel like something's moving. I just feel. How long we've been feeling like it? How long we've been feeling like we go back to 94 revival with Greg Godwin? You know, the greatest service we had with Greg Godwin was when Mitch Glover took it over. I don't know if you remember that service, but my dad preached right here. Greg Godwin didn't get a chance to touch the mic, and that was the most powerful service that we had, and that could be every Sunday. That could be every single service. It just depends on, are we waiting on it, or are we finally going to say, I am it, friend? Oh, there comes a time where you got to say, we're leaving. God's moving on Moses here. You guys are leaving at midnight. It's time for you to spread the word. We're leaving. That's a massive moment of faith. Because we're done playing games and building up to this point. and slavery for 430 years is getting ready to just break off of us. To the point that not one single person is going to walk out sick. Not one feeble person is going to leave Egypt. That's Psalm 105. Not one feeble person. And before it talked about feeble, it said they were loaded down with silver and they were loaded down with gold. That means favor, and that's to cover your kids. That's for you to tell your kids you've never been a slave. You are not a slave. You're precious. Look at the value you've got on you. Look at the power you've got on you. Cover your kids with what you get here. And so the Lord says that. Verse 4, he says, about midnight. It's time. Go public with that and tell me you don't need some faith. This is what you call making Passover. Passover doesn't even exist. Moses is making Passover by faith. By faith, Moses. It's going to be in the next verse. By faith, they pass through the dry bottom of the Red Sea. But there is no by faith they until you've got this by faith Moses. There is no faith. There is no faith in these people. It's not going to be found in these people until it becomes true to these people. And so it requires this man getting in everyone's face and saying, hey, get everything out of that house. Get all the jewels, all the gold, all the we've got favor. You've got favor, you've got favor, you've got favor. Every woman, he said, every woman. Now, you don't got to be a mighty man here. Every woman who's been laboring in a house, you get all the gold, all the silver, all the stuff. We're going to spoil Egypt right now, and you need to see yourself brand new right this moment. You need to make a shift right now. Woman, demand stuff right now. You are not looking at a master. You are the master. That's looking at cancer and saying, no, I'm the master in the name of Jesus. That fast. That's looking at your family and saying, devil, you get out of this house now. You say, I don't need a pastor to pray over my house. I don't need some special oil to pray over my house. I just decided I'm a man of God. Everything just changed. Woo! There comes a time you make Passover by faith. You create it. That's what that word can mean. In the, according to Vincent, Marvin Vincent, it means create. All the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die. There's going to be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt. There'll never be another cry like that again. Look at this. And he said, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. God said, I'm putting a difference between my people and the Egyptians, and a dog's not even allowed to move his tongue against my people. I think you know you're pretty well off in authority realm whenever that's a fact, when nobody can speak against you, not even a dog. That's pretty powerful whenever God said, I just shut the enemy's mouth. I think I read about that in the New Testament, matter of fact. I think Paul told the church, you're getting ready to crush Satan under your feet shortly. You are one church getting ready to crush Satan under your feet shortly. Can you imagine that? Yeah, not one mouth, not one accusation, not one word, not one intimidation. You shut your mouth because God has declared who we are is his children. And he decided to make a difference. And there better be a difference, my friend. This better be more powerful than any hospital that's trying to practice medicine. This ought to be a place where we know, good night, you come here, you're already healed. This better be more powerful than what any psychologist can offer anybody. We've got real hope. We've got real second chances and resurrection. And we've got real identity. You don't got to worry about stuff. When you talk about contentment, Brother Bartlett, you don't get it without identity in Christ. And the moment you realize who you are in Christ, number one, you recognize I don't own anything. I do not own anything. And then I also recognize this 70, 80 year blink of the eye is going to be over so fast, and I'm looking forward to eternal rewards. We better be living for eternal rewards, my friend. We better be laying aside treasure that is incorruptible, because I know this is just a practice. You kidding me? I got eternity life in me right now. I have got eternity in me every time I speak with tongues or don't. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got eternity inside of me. That's why you can pull stuff from a realm that's not yet done in earth, because you've got eternity inside of you. And when you're feeling like, wait a minute, I feel like speaking a word right now into the atmosphere, you speak it, because God's giving you wisdom from ages to come. And if we can begin to believe it's not coming, I brought it here by faith. Abraham's promises just don't come to pass. You got to make a Passover. That's what he does. He makes a Passover. The lamb, two sides of the door, over the top. That's exactly what God did with Abraham. There was a burning torch and a furnace that went through Abraham's pathway. Here it's a destroying angel that the scripture said is literally taking out the seat of Egyptian authority, Psalm 105. When he takes out the firstborn, he breaks them. He literally breaks them. And Moses starts to talk to his people about more than just the lamb and the blood on the doorpost. Because that will happen exactly one time. But he's making Passover, which is going to be a feast that's celebrated every year. The 14th of the first month. They're going to have Passover until the 21st. Every year from the 14th to the 21st, there's a celebration, Passover and unleavened bread. Can't have any leavened bread during that time, but there's no more slaying of lambs and putting the blood on your doorpost after this night. And so when it says that by faith Moses made the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, that's two different things. One of them happened once. The Passover was going to be forever. And he's making something here, the first ever feast that Israel's going to celebrate. 7 days long, and it's going to end the day they pass over the Red Sea. That's the seventh day they got out of Egypt, according to the Jewish folks. And so there's a celebration on the first and on the seventh day, the 14th and the 21st. And so when they go through that red, dry sea, you want to know they're dancing? I guarantee they were dancing. They're celebrating, because it's a feast of celebration and a holy convocation. And you're getting ready to, after that, have another feast and Pentecost and another feast and another feast. But none of that happens without Passover. And so he set something off that God is going to have seven feasts total in Israel that will be celebrated. But it starts off with this one, and it starts off with Moses telling all the people. I want you to see right off the bat, here's their reaction in Exodus chapter number 12, when he tells the people. Verse 27, the people bowed the head and worshiped. That sounds pretty good when you've been in jail for 430 years. They bowed the head and worshiped. Don't you worry, Moses, about people being ready. Guaranteed. Don't you worry about people being ready. That was always what Moses was saying. What if they don't believe me? You don't believe it, Moses. That's why you're saying, what if they don't believe it? It's because you don't believe it, Moses. But you better know, you tell them they're ready. It doesn't bring an argument. It brings awe and worship. They go into that thing ready, and they're going into it knowing it's going to work. And I've just got to skip over a whole lot here with this Passover celebration, and it's all prophecy, all of it. He's even telling when you get in the promised land and your kids ask you about this, they haven't even had one yet. And Moses is prophesying your answer. He's prophesying what's going to happen. None of it's happened yet. He's only just telling them. That's how you make a Passover. And that's how you make a people. And how that relates to us today here in this time and age is at one point in time, you've got people that finally believed they were who God said they were. And so they transitioned from needing Jesus everywhere to saying, silver and gold have I none, to somebody Jesus didn't heal. They transitioned that fast from I need Jesus with me, I fail Jesus, I run from Jesus, I cuss about Jesus, and then I preach about Jesus, and now I'm carrying Jesus everywhere I go, and I recognize that we are an unstoppable force that never ever will pray, God, get me out of my trouble. Oh, they never pray, God, get me out of my trouble. They're saying, give me boldness that I might open my mouth and speak your word. Why is that? You were made for trouble. You were made for sinners, my friend. You were made for drug addicts. Yeah. It's just who knows who's. It's just who has a better revelation of who they are. Who's got more power? Can you tell me that this moment of Passover where they break out, Exodus 14 and 6, 7 and 8 talks about Israel walking out, and it said they literally raised in the NLT, raised their fist in defiance. He said they marched out 600,000 slaves. Boom. No, I'm an army. That's what God said. The warriors are walking out of Egypt. My army's walking out of Egypt. They didn't walk, they marched. I went from being a slave to being a warrior in one moment. I know there comes a time you got to draw a line in the sand and just say, let's go public with it, all right? It's here right now. We don't got to wait on anything but our faith to get enlarged. In who we already are. God's promise is never just come to pass. But you find sinners praying his promises, and they'll come to pass. And Moses is here going, it's time now. 30 years past time, matter of fact. God said 400 years, it's 430. 30 years past time. But there comes a time, it's got to be time. And so, okay, guys, tonight, crazy as it sounds, he didn't say that. Okay, guys, you ain't going to believe this? He don't say that. That's not the stuff you say when you believe it. You might think this is crazy, and I know I'm not worthy of saying this, and I've got issues myself, and that's the kind of stuff you say when you're believing something and you're making something. Something that's never going to stop. Something that's never going to change. Something that's going to result in the complete destruction of Egypt's army in the Red Sea. You don't say, hey, you know, I've got issues too. I stutter and I know my kids aren't living right. My wife's not here and all that kind of stuff. You don't say that kind of stuff when God's leading you to be a strong man that you are and step up and say, demand stuff, we're leaving tonight. What you say is get yourself a lamb and you go ahead and you cut that lamb, get the blood, you put it on your doorpost, you get inside the house, you eat the lamb, don't you dare water it down, don't you dare break any bones of it or it ain't going to work. He said somebody that's uncircumcised has no right to this party because this is all about the children of God in covenant with their God. If you're a stranger and you're not circumcised, you'll die if you try to celebrate Passover. And if you are circumcised and you don't celebrate Passover, you are now recognized as not being circumcised. Boom, you're out of covenant. That's a big deal. Whenever this right here is like, draw the line, let's see who my people are. And Moses isn't saying sorry. He's saying your kids are going to be jacked up about this. And when they ask questions about it, you tell them, here's why God with his mighty hand pulled us out of Egypt. And you tell them this happened, and that's why we sacrifice. And you tell them this happened, and that you don't apologize. You apologize when you're not proud of it. And you apologize when you're not ready for it. Quit apologizing and be a man of God and a woman of God and make a Passover moment in your life where Genesis 15 is coming to pass right now. And it works. Feeble? No. Slaves? Just they were. Give me your stuff. And the scripture said they did it, Exodus 12, according to the word of Moses. If you don't got enough of faith in you, my faith's on pastor. You know what I'm saying? My pastor said it. I've gone to a higher authority. Moses said it, so I'm going to do it. You obey your way into a revelation. You do. You obey your way into a revelation. No feeling, no faith. Like, I know it's going to happen. You just obey God's word. And you see what God does to people who obey his word. And when God comes through, that's when your faith goes, whoa, Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. Your word is bigger and greater than this little demonic presence we've got in Alaska. Maybe we should laugh them to derision like the scripture said God likes to do to his enemies. Just laugh at whatever strongholds we think are going to stop the church from being the church. There comes that time, my friend, where you just say, I am. I am. You don't wait for your kids to see it. You put it on them. And you're packed up. And the moment you can, you go. And you're marching out. And you're shaking your fist at Pharaoh. And God says, I'm not done yet. So they get 3 days journey out. And Pharaoh says, where'd they go? I thought they were only going three. And all the other people are going, what are we doing? Why do we let all our work go? And God tells Moses here in 14 and 1. He tells them in 14 and 2, speak to the children of Israel. We're turning back. We're turning back. Get closer to the Egyptians so we can park at the Red Sea so they can catch us so I can kill them. This isn't a shocker to Moses. And here's what the scripture tells us about that moment. That there is a cloud. And Paul says that all 1 Corinthians 10:2, were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That means they were baptized into their leader's identity and authority. They were immersed into, I believe he's the man. That's what they were immersed into. I believe he tells us God's truth. And what he says about us is real. And what God's doing through him is God's doing it. And it was in the cloud and it was in the sea. Of course, it's baptism as well. But this moment here is a moment of revelation for the children of Israel. Our guys got it going on because the angel of God gets behind them. And Moses is in front of them. And that's the point that God tells Moses, what are you crying to me for? Because you do not pray on this side of Passover like you did before. You do not pray when you are liberated like you do when you're bound. There's got to come a shift of authority where I'm not praying, please God, show up. And I'm saying, now, Lord, I declare your will in earth. Oh, we know it's God's will to heal and to deliver and to save souls and to free minds. And Luke 4:18-19, we know it's God's will. What needs to happen is we need to start declaring it here in earth as it is in heaven and doing it in earth. You gotta have that miracle moment where you're a part of that, those people they call heretics. I'm part of the way. Whatever you're going to call them, I want to be a part of it. But there comes that moment. They're called Christians. They're called this. They're called that. Whatever it is, you want to be a part of that people. Because that's the people who have stepped out and said, yes, let's just go with it. Yes, I do not need somebody else to preach a sermon to me when I know what the Bible says. I've got to confront my lack of faith in God, get rid of my idols I've been trusting in, so I can actually believe in God and make God the big, massive God that He is. Yeah, there comes that time where you don't just pray anymore about it. Show me where they pray for miracles. They don't. We know that. What's the Bible say? These signs shall follow them that believe. Serpents will not hurt them. They'll take them up. They won't hurt them. What's Paul do when a serpent gets on his hand? Does he pray? You don't got to pray when you got a word that says it won't hurt you. You don't say in the name of Jesus. I'd probably scream like a girl and run, but Paul, he didn't say anything. He shakes it off. I got a word. I don't need to pray about it. God said it can't hurt me if I'm a believer. So get off my hand. And they look at him and go, oh my goodness, he's a God because he's not swelling up. He's not a capital G, but he sure looks like a good image of what Christ is on the earth. Complete and total dominion who fills all in all. Well before baptism in the name of Jesus. Jesus said all authority. So does that mean that somebody's got some? If I've got all of these sour patch kids, how many does Sierra have? So how much authority does the devil have? If somebody says I've got all authority in heaven and in earth, that means everybody else has got none. And so the Lord says, and here's how I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to baptize you into an identity. That's how you're going to have authority. You're going to make more disciples of Jesus, and you're going to baptize them into an identity. And this identity is the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. And so you baptize them in the name of the Father and into the name of the Son and into the name of the Holy Ghost. Because that's how you get all in all. And that's how you know that you've got dominion authority when your Father is your Father. He's the one that says who you are. He's the one that witnesses who you are. He's the one that's going to make it happen. Who do you think was in the beginning? We've got a Father, my friend. That's a realm right there that births and begats. Not the Father of Jesus. The Holy Ghost gave birth to Jesus. I'm talking about Father gives birth to His Word coming to pass. That's what Jesus said. What He does, I do it. And then boom. He said, you think I need a witness? John 5. He said, you know what, John? He was a witness of me. And He said, and you guys really liked him. And you were willing to rejoice in his light for a season. But the witness that they have after the fact is John does no miracles. Except give the world Jesus. Except hear from heaven Go baptize people for the remission of sins. And the one that sent me to baptize also told me that I'm going to see Jesus. I'll know who the Messiah is when the dove comes down on his head. And when the dove comes down on him and it remains, the Spirit comes on and remains. The one who sent me in the beginning when I was born with the Holy Ghost, since I don't do miracles. I moved when I was, 6 months old in my mother's womb and she got the Holy Ghost. I never did a miracle. What kind of a miracle are you looking for? Anything other than Jesus. Anything other than it's time now, quit praying, here he is. Because I love get ready, here comes Jesus. But if somebody actually opens up the door and heaven is ripped wide open, Mark chapter number 1, I don't want that. I want to wait. I want to keep on praying about it. I want to keep on believing for something's coming. Because there's just something about when it comes. That's a wake-up call for anybody. When it comes, that's just a massive, all right, now what are you doing with it? And so Jesus said, you were willing to rejoice in his light for a little while. And that's what I've done for years. Here he comes. It's coming. Revelation. Jesus, I'm like, here he comes. And there's no more John. I love to rejoice in light, not the light, but light. Revelation, but not Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Can you imagine the conflict going on with John the Baptist's disciples? How dare he baptize? How dare he baptize? It sounds good to say, oh, I need to decrease, he needs to increase, unless you're not. Unless you're down with having your own disciples still. You know what you are? You're well on your way to saying, are you the one? Or should we look for another? When you go past your moment, where now it's time for you to follow. And you keep on baptizing, and Jesus is baptizing, and you've got an argument going on with your disciples. How dare Jesus baptize people? John's like, well, he needs to increase, I need to decrease, and we'll do that next week. And you're moving towards, are you the one, or should we look for another? And could you have a bigger wake-up call than heaven literally being ripped open? Like the veil, and a voice coming out of heaven, and the dove descending on Jesus. And the one who sent you said that was all going to happen. And now you're saying, are you the one, or should we look for another? And the reason we do that is because we miss that moment where it's time now to say he's here. It's time to quit baptizing people and say, Messiah's coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes and start to live like that. Start to live at his feet. Don't talk about it. Do it. But I can miss that moment because I love to expect. It's in human nature. I am jacked up for something until I get it. I mean, that's all I can do is read reviews about this book. I'm reading the sample pages. I finally take the leap and I buy it on Kindle and I don't read it. Because I got it. Now what? I love to expect. But when it's here, it's not so fun to just be it. It's not so funny anymore to say, where are you going? And have angels show up and say, what are you looking up in heaven for? Why are you men from Galilee staring up there? Go to Jerusalem. Isn't that what he told you? You can't do it. That's why you've got to get power. And it's only those that dare to go get power that actually can, boom, turn into the apostolic church. With nothing going for them. No momentum. What momentum do they have built up? They all ran. Some of them were naked. Cussing. Blah, blah. You just name it. They weren't the greatest people of faith. But the moment they turned it, 3,000 people, 5,000 people, and they go get thrown in jail and don't even know those 5,000 people believed. You talk about an unstoppable people. It's those people that are willing just to say, we are it. We are it. It's called making a Passover, my friend, and going ahead and killing the lamb and saying, he's showing up tonight. I sure hope he does. There ain't nothing wrong at all saying, I sure hope he does. But you got to have that moment where you're just putting it right out there. I am it. If I pray, if I ask you to pray with me again for another thing God gave me authority over, just slap me in the face. If you're a man of God, God will never override your authority in your house. He gave you authority. So your pastor can't pray for your house like only you can pray for your house. And so there comes a time where you just got to take it and say, I am a man of God. Post it if you have to, but we've got to make a Passover. My God's greater. Who's yours? You just make that moment. That's called shaping, 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 shaping. I've been working on a book for 45 years, and I'm just editing it. It's not perfect yet, and so I'm working on it. Never gets published, never gets shipped, because that's a moment where now I am going public with it. And you got to have faith in that moment. That's making a Passover. Boom. That's the Lord's Passover. God's people, boom, passing over. God's people, I'm new now. In so many different ways. And the people that we have in the Sterling Church, I'm so thankful for men of God like the man that's coming on Thursday. Obviously, an apostle in Europe, God's using him mightily. But we know we don't need another report. We don't need another event to say, hey, we got Joe Schmo coming to preach, and so invite your friends. You're commanded. You're commanded to go make disciples of all nations. You don't need to get hyped up for something you know you are. You don't have to get jacked up about what you've got in you. It's just you've got to start pouring that thing. And you'll feel foolish when you do it. Okay, kids. Go get all those. How foolish are you going to feel? That's your answer, Mom? Here's what Jeremiah 23 says. I'll just say it to you. It's Jeremiah 16, Jeremiah 23. The Lord said both times in both chapters, no more are they going to say the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. But they are going to say the Lord that brought them from the north and brought them back from Babylonian captivity. That's taking your history and moving it to God is and not he was. No more are they going to say the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. But he said they're going to say the Lord that brought them back from Babylonian captivity, because that's where we are. Boom. That's where we start. And you've got to change your language, because that's the only way your identity changes. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. You're not depressed. You're saying that. You need to quit lying on yourself. I'm this, I'm that. What are you saying about yourself? God's not saying about you in the Word of God. You're lying on what God said about you. I'm more apt to believe what the devil says about me than what God says about me. And if I'm that person, I've got to hurry and be done. If I'm that person, my name's Gideon. And I can't believe God telling me. So go hear the enemy say it. And if you're that person, your future is, I'm going to make myself a massive idol. Because that kind of a person that can't just believe God's word will take credit when the victory happens. Because I don't have a faith connection with God. And that's all it takes is faith. That's all it takes is Moses getting angry and saying, you're never going to see my face again. And you go out and say, get ready now, kill the lamb, put it on, we're going out at midnight. And getting wild-eyed if that's what you need, getting the bones of Joseph. That'll preach too. Because some people like to get buried, and other people say, I'm going to get buried in the promise. Jacob says, bury me now. And Joseph says, I believe in you enough, you can bury me later. And so Moses says, I need those bones. There's nothing wrong with grabbing a few skeletons from the past and saying, I need that faith right there. If Joseph could believe it, you know I'm taking it with me. And you start going, and you don't have the clear picture. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you finally know who you are. Oh yeah, that's when you become a prophet. Stand with me. It's that moment where you're not preaching to Pharaoh anymore. You're preaching to the people. It's that moment where you're not declaring something through somebody. But you're just saying, I am it. How many people does it take to save a city? How many righteous people does it take to save a city? You go from 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And conversation ends. Lot gets pulled out of Sodom. Lot moves into a city that was put under the death ban. And Zoar, that city, is allowed to live. And then the next chapter after Lot's deliverance, Abraham goes down to a country. And he goes head to head with the king, and the king hears from God. And God tells this man who says, are you going to kill a righteous nation? He says, Abraham's my prophet. He's going to pray for you, and your barrenness is going to be taken away. And so you're going with Abraham and God. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. And then you realize it takes one. The one who's standing in God's face, telling God himself is the judge of all the earth, not going to do right. That's a leap of faith right there. And it's one righteous man that can save a city. You don't need 10. One. It's one that's telling God. What if there's 45? Does he know he's a prophet? Probably not. But the moment you get that revelation of who you are, it's time for you to go public. And say, is this, as far as Sterling as a whole, as far as individuals here who have been going so hardcore after God, how long you've been living for God, faithful, faithful, faithful. Don't you think it's about time that this church goes public with every single neighborhood you live in? Understanding what Paul's revelation was that God puts people in the right time in the right place. So God doesn't need Paul, he needs us right now. And he puts you where you live. And the moment you start believing that, time and places are in God's control, then you start to recognize, I am God's hope for this neighborhood. And that's all it takes. Is somebody like Robinette who doesn't feel foolish to talk to another pastor about Jesus' name baptism. Just one voice, not intimidated. Boom. Somebody with faith in who they are. Let the world not know who they are. That's why we're here. We're to speak to them and tell them what they are. That's what God says. I like that. I like that when a church has the worst starting point of all time, Thyatira, been letting Jezebel hang around. He said, you've been tolerating Jezebel. I'm not down with that. She's going out. He says, but I'm going to speak to you, the church. And then he says, and the rest in Thyatira. So you're starting at a point where you've got Jezebel living in your church. To God saying, she's gone. I'm going to speak to you and your city. That's the only time he does that to the churches in Revelation. To you and to the rest in Thyatira. Can you imagine leaving that sermon and saying, God already spoke over my city? Don't you know that God is working everywhere in this place? That where you go to eat and where you drive to get gas and wherever you go from here today, that there's somebody God's been working on? And they don't get the revelation unless there's somebody willing to hear the voice of God and not wait on somebody else to do it, but say, all right, I'm going to follow the voice of God even if it's the wilderness. Because that's how you reach nations. One, faithful. I know I'm an evangelist even in the wilderness. What's the greatest country of revival in history? Ethiopia. How did that start? A eunuch who needed just a little bit more revelation from somebody who knows I'm an evangelist. I'm an evangelist. He knows his daughters are prophets. There's something about just saying it. I am it. There's no other examples of evangelists in the Bible but Philip. So we just got to go with the one that says, I am it. I am it. We've got to have that in Sterling. All the prayer warriors. What if you started to just believe in your prayers? Don't wait for Pharaoh to bow, because he won't. God won't let him. Whatever it is in your face on a daily basis, don't wait for that to say, oh, you're bad to the bone. Okay. You just got to know what God says about you. I'm telling you, Steve Adams. Boom. What if God has to make somebody weak so they can be powerful? You ever thought about that? What if God's got to make me weak physically so I can drop bombs in the spirit? I'll take it. Sign me up for that, my friend. What if God's got to allow for me to get a taste of something? Is there anybody else that's saying it's time for me to make a Passover? Honey, pack up. Israel, get ready. We're going tonight. Come on, we've been waiting 430 years, and it's going tonight. And somebody just says, I am healed. I am healed. Somebody in this building just prophesies. We need somebody to be a millionaire in Sterling. We need somebody to be wealthy in Sterling. We need somebody with the gift of giving in Sterling. How do you think that Rebecca just got pregnant here in the spirit? Let's go public with that stuff. Somebody needs to say, I heard you're going to be a dad. Oh, don't you feel it when you say it like that? My God is powerful. Congratulations, Levi. Is there somebody else in this building that just saying, it's time for me to be it?
Hallelujah.
It's time for me to have a ministry. It's time for me to walk in power.
Hallelujah.
It's time for me to believe. Come on, you are it. You need to be it. Come on, Steve Adams, you can prophesy. Norm Heiler's never been this powerful. You want to see a man of God? Here he is right here. It's called I'm stepping into it and believing it is me. It is me. Put it on the calendar. That was the day I became a nation. Come on, young girls, prophesy.